Happy 2024, Peaky Gang. This is a big year. Welcome back to another episode of By Order of the Peaky Blinders. As always, Daniel and Josh trying to keep the lights on here, covering different shows. Right now, we're still working through Fargo. This episode will cover season 5, episodes 7 and 8, one more away from the final two. But Josh, before we dive into Fargo, some interesting breaking news here this week, the first week of January. Potentially a source says that the Peaky Blinders movie will start filming this year, which has come out of nowhere. It's always, you know, I'm used to Stephen Knight breaking our Peaky news, but it seems to be an anonymous source this time, potentially him.
Yes, I'm surprised that happened. So I thought it was going to be a no-go, especially after Killian's interview, saying that he'd like to do it, but he's not sure if he would do it. And hell, he was pretty content with the ending. So
yeah, I don't know.
I hope they don't fuck it up.
I don't know if he's gonna be in it. I don't know, Killian. You think like there's a world where he's not in it? You're right. He has to be in it.
Like, what do you mean?
I know, but they're like, it's one of the bigger movie stars in the world. How are they gonna get him for? I mean, my gut says, just from like knowing the ins and outs of this stuff, he may film for like one day. You know what I mean? Like, they may be able to get him for like three days. And then he'll play a minor role, and it'll be about the new generation. That's going to be a bit of a guess. But as always, send us some emails at botpeakyblinders@gmail.com. And we're over at patreon.com at By Order of Peaky, with a lot of old episodes, not much new there. But, you know, maybe we'll get a resurgence leading up into the movie. You never know. But go ahead and let us know what you think the movie's going to be about. How much of Murphy do you think will be in it? I did try to slide. I've had a little bit of a discourse on Instagram with Mr. Paul Anderson. So I messaged him this morning and I said, are you going to be in the new movie? And so we've gotten back and forth a little bit. So we'll see if he responds. He usually responds. His last back and forth resulted in me asking him what that new Instagram channel that he started was about, and he said, just a way to keep in touch with supporters, my brother, keep everyone in the loop and stay connected. So we'll see if he shoots me back a response about whether he'll be in it or how much he knows, because you know who we need to get on our gal, really gonna put me through the ringer here, who we interviewed, who makes the smoothies, because she had some juicy information for us. That was Michelle. That's all we're going to say. The caterer, Michelle, with GG Craft Services. She's the one that gave us some good knowledge. So we might need to reach back out to her and see if we can get some updates on the movie. All right, Josh, let's jump in to Fargo 5.7 here. It's called Linda. We kind of had a guess that Dot would have her own episode, and that was the last time we talked. And I was thinking, well, I saw the episode's name, Linda. Not sure what that means. So Linda is... Linda's Roy Tillman's first wife. And obviously we're going to be spoiling Fargo 7 and 8 here. And I think this episode was incredible. I loved it from the beginning. You know, Dot's on the move. She's going towards the Tillman residence, which is very interesting to keep tabs on, Josh. So the last time we see Dorothy, she drops off her daughter at the cop's house and she dips. And she is going towards North Dakota. She's going towards Stark County. And the key piece here is she stops at a diner and she asks if the pancakes were any good. And so from that, we get kind of swept up into her going to dig up a postcard that has a windmill. It's under a windmill. It has a windmill on it. It says it's in this camp, which is when Linda sent her a postcard. Now, we don't know if any of this happened, obviously, after, because it does seem like... it does seem pretty confidently that it was a dream, but it's certainly there for discussion to have about it. The thing that really set me off, Josh, about the indicator that this entire puppet show with some great music drops, with really horrifying imagery about what happened, how Linda kind of primed Dorothy to be her replacement and then potentially ran away, it kind of all comes crashing down. There was a sign in the diner that was a recipe for chicken piccata, and that's what she was served at dinner. And for me, that gave me a little bit of a hint, like, oh wow, they're eating chicken piccata. Like, there was a recipe for that at the diner. And then the fact that the episode ends in a way where pancakes come right back in. She goes with Linda to the diner. She walks out of the diner alone. And that's when that unbelievably horrific car accident happens. And I thought that was going to be potentially fake. And then obviously she wakes up in the hospital with Roy
I thought
Tillman
she was
standing
dead,
over
man.
her.
She got fucking rammed.
It was nuts. It was nuts. There was a lot of stuff that went on. Let's stick in this world right here, though. What was your opinion of, like, obviously Dorothy walks in on this. The whole thing felt like I was on drugs from the beginning of the puppet show to her falling asleep watching the puppet show and then waking up again. In hindsight, it definitely makes sense, but obviously it's a cult or a cultish vibe for women who leave abusive husbands. And it would be great if it existed, but unfortunately, I think it was all made up.
Yeah, it had a very utopian vibe, very kind of like Handmaid's Tale, Stepford Wives, one of those kind of environments, you know what I'm talking about, where things are just kind of an alternate reality that you were seeing, but that could very easily be something that could happen and be realistic in the world. So it almost was very robotic in a sense. So it was a little creepy, as you said. You said you felt like you were on drugs. It was very weird. It was very interesting, especially when you brought in the puppet show and everyone's, you know, like, I mean, puppets to me are freaky. They're like clowns in a way.
Yeah.
So especially when they're very, when you have like the narration going on behind it and it's dark and everything. So it was a really interesting kind of way to kind of explain. I thought it was extremely clever. Extremely clever way of just not doing a flashback to when Roy married and when Dot came into the picture and how that kind of progressed. It told us in a very interesting and metaphorical way, if that makes sense. And it made you think, you know, if honestly, I would have preferred if they didn't even tell us that it was a dream. I would have liked for it to be open to interpretation. And I still think that that is still kind of maybe open to interpretation because of something that was said in episode 8, where Dot tells Gator, "I saw your mom."
Right, so let's go into it. I love this. So I had a part of me, right, 20% of me that felt this. And so let's go back and forth because I didn't think it was a dream confirmed until the pancakes, like all of a sudden, popped up out of nowhere. It's like she saw pancakes in the way she was walking and all this stuff. So I'm like, oh, pancakes, pancakes. And then we carry into episode 8, and there's a lot in between, but we can kind of just jump to it where she's a prisoner of Roy Tillman, and she says, "Well, I saw Linda, and I'm gonna go where she went." And he says, "Yeah, you will. I'm gonna bury you right next to her." So I'm like, ah, I think Linda's just buried under that windmill. And I
No,
think
100%.
she thought the same thing when she looked at the windmill. She's like, "Wait a minute,
Right. And
did that never happen?"
I think that she was kind of in a coma in a sense. Maybe not a coma, but maybe like a one day
Yeah.
sleep state, a sedated state when she was heavily medicated because of the car crash. So I think that she was just seeing things and
But
seeing
this
her
no is
own.
before the car crash.
Right, but what I'm saying is that I think that it's kind of all. I think that, I mean, she wakes up and she's having that dream and it goes back in time. That's my interpretation.
Okay, so I think while
You get
she's
what I'm
sitting at
saying?
the diner, see, I think while she's sitting at the
You think
diner,
she's
she
just like in
dreams
a,
up the whole thing.
she's like in a stupor, just like sitting there like delirious and just thinking about the whole thing?
Correct. Or she could have, yeah, that's what I mean, that's what I think what happened. Because they take us right back into the diner to end the episode, and then she walks out of the diner, quote unquote, with Linda, which I think she needed. I think she needed the closure with Linda. That's what it was all for, right? She got to punch Linda in the face, she got to talk it all out with her, and she got to come to an understanding, whether you want to say that it's Linda's fault or not, that she's like, you know what, I need to finally kind of just be done with this man in a way where I have Linda in my back. Like I have Linda on my shoulders helping me take it to the police or helping me, but obviously when Roy's sitting there in the hotel in the hospital room, that changed all of that. Let's jump around a little bit. Let's have a little bit of bouncing fun here. How about our boy Ole Munch? All right. We have a great 2 Ole Munch episodes. The last we saw him, there was a tracker being put on his car that we weren't sure whether it was a tracker or a bomb. We
What
were
is
saying, well,
that?
if it's a tracker, it has to be one of those old school, super unrealistic ones. And yet it is. And so, like, Gator finds him. But before Gator finds him, we get the funniest, I think the funniest scene of the season for me, which was the son of the old lady that Ole Munch is staying with, basically trying to bully him and be like, "Well, I want money." Well, he's like, "Oh, I'm gonna provide protection for your mom." "Well, no, we need money now." He's like, "The landlord's here." Like, I'm like, dude, you are not menacing at all. You're like skinny and he looks like a drug
Yeah,
addict.
that was the irony of it,
Yeah,
for
and
sure.
Oleg comes out with all this money and gives him the money. And then he
Right.
still talks shit and he tries to get greedy and he says, okay, every month. And I think if he had just taken the money and walked out of the door, Ole wouldn't have killed him. And because he is like, you know, I what probably like 3 grand that he gave him, something like that, 5 grand. He's like, I want that every month. And he goes out and just smashes him with the axe. Ironically, in the exact same spot that Gator would end up killing the mom, whatever, a night or 2 nights later, when he gets so caught up with the bag of money in the car. Like, what a bozo, right? Gator's so rich. And yet, something like that would so easily trip him up. It was just, yeah, bad, bad for him. And then
Greed.
we
It's
finished
a yeah.
with
It's a
Munch in
movie
his
about
backseat.
greed. He's
It's
very
greed.
greedy. Yeah, he's very greedy, and I think that was intentional. And then one other just little nugget that by Ole handing him that wad of cash, that I think that 100% solidifies any question that he's not human. That he is indeed not human. Because my thinking is that any human would want to keep that cash.
Correct. So
He,
right.
if he's not human,
It means
he
nothing to him.
it means nothing to him. He's not like he doesn't pay for things,
Right.
okay? He
It's
doesn't
like when you watch the
expense it.
Marvel movies, you know what I mean? And these like
Correct.
money doesn't mean anything.
Exactly. He's not like a human who spends money. He's going to the grocery store, paying rent, buying a house. Like he's just on the go doing his Ole Munch non-human sadistic things, you know? So I think that is pretty much confirmation. And once again, like there's so many little nuggets that you could pick up on that could kind of answer your questions, I think. I think we'll get confirmation obviously very soon in the near future. But yeah, Ole is on a mission to kill Gator, and it's a slow burn. Like in episode 8, and we see him just pop up behind the car while Gator's driving.
Amazing.
I mean, like, what is he gonna do? Like, is he just gonna kill him? And like, is he gonna like, I don't know.
I think he's gonna kill him. I think he's gonna kill him.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he just finally he finally let himself open up to a person in this grandma figure
I think
or
he's like,
mom
yeah,
figure.
he like felt for
He
the old
loved,
lady. Yeah.
yeah, he like loved her. And then you got these
Yeah.
oranges, just like in The Godfather, that come popping out of her bag.
Yep.
That was just horrifying. It was I hated to see it. I really like that woman. You know, we started all kind of care about her a little bit. Quick pop into Wayne Lyon's world where he seems to be getting a little bit better. He doesn't quite know what capitalism is yet, and he's like car for a car, car for a car, right? And I love this. I loved it. I enjoyed it. It's way better than the shit he gave us the first 6 episodes. I just came around a little bit more on his character now because he's like a little bit funnier. And the daughter's like, "No, Dad, I need you to read me a book." And then she's like, "Where's the book?" And so all of that, I was warming up a little bit of that. But guess what, Josh? We had an entire episode without Lorraine Lyon. And then episode 8, we only got her for like 2 seconds on the phone with
Right.
Danish Graves. Into episode 8, where we get the debate where Danish starts the episode having 3 men that owe the debt company a lot of money, because the episode starts with this poor people shop song and him going through the debt collector's books and having them all change their name to Roy Tillman, Roy A. Tillman, Roy C. Tillman, Roy J. Tillman, and has Roy Tillman go fucking ballistic, punch the moderator. I was so proud of Danish Graves. Another situation where I didn't really like a character for most of the show, and now he's like, oh, you're kind of a good guy. Obviously, we do lose Danish because
Yeah, that was just
he was
stupid.
an idiot. He's like, oh, this guy won't kill me. I'll just go walk into his house and demand for his slave to be removed.
I thought he wasn't gonna kill him because I was like, TV show,
Wow.
movies. You know, when they a lot of people have conversations in rooms. Sometimes you do get them just popping them in the head,
I thought he was gonna kill him,
but
100%.
I was like, okay, he's gonna threaten him, and then I think he's gonna walk away. But that was a shock to
But
me. I
he
mean,
did
not.
get to tell Winston though, which is big, the cop, Winston
Right.
from New Girl. I don't know his name in the show, but I was like, amazing scenes from Winston in this episode. He showed up at the front door with Gator. Gator almost shoots him. By the way, we had like 15 minutes in episode 8 before the intro came that was like, out of respect for the dead, the rest has been told exactly the same. So that was unique. And then just anything that you want to touch on the Roy and Dorothy stuff. I thought there was one amazing line where Roy was saying that he was trying to fix her. And she said, yeah, like a window cleaner pissing on a window. Loved it. And that's when Roy's wife came in and like slapped her in the face. Like
Yeah.
it was nuts.
To be honest, I'm getting a little, this is my one gripe. I'm getting a little tired of the storyline. It's not
Yeah.
going anywhere.
Yeah.
Okay. Like he has her and he just wants to torture her. And he keeps on saying, you made a vow to me. And he keeps on spouting out Bible
There
verses. And
needs to
he's
be one more thing, right? Like one more MacGuffin.
like, she's just going to try to get away and it's going to be an endless cycle of her escaping. Like, I guess that could be it. But I'm getting a little tired of the storyline. He has her now. I'm just kind of waiting for the next catalyst to the story to kind of emerge to see what happens. Obviously, she sees Danish die. She's a little upset about it. She feels a connection to the Lyons family as much as she's kind of, looked
Well,
down upon.
that's also her protection. Like
Right.
that's her only legal form of escape. And she's watching Roy go kill him. You know, it's like, oh,
Oh, of
brutal.
course. And she, I mean, she didn't even see him killed. She just saw him, his body being taken to what seems to be, it's about to be burned to ashes. So that's just my one gripe of the Roy Tillman Dorothy plot line is where is it going? I thought she was gonna escape again. And like he just wants to beat the shit out of her. Like, I
I'm
don't know,
happy she
is
didn't
that his
escape.
end goal?
Then we would have gotten a
Yeah.
little Handmaid's Tale-esque. You
You're
know what I
right. It
mean?
would
If
have
it's
gotten
like.
so unrealistic. She can't just get away from anybody, it was a pretty crazy episode to see Danish Graves die. So it was our first kind of huge character that we saw die in the show. And then obviously we see this at least we see Lars Olmsted in bed with another woman, and Detective Olmsted catches
Fucking
him.
hilarious.
And I was like, you go,
Fuck
girl.
it.
Slay, 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 slay.
Yeah, but the same way, like, it just took so long. Like, why didn't she do that when he said, I need a wife? Like, why didn't she snap back and
She
say,
was
well,
ready.
you
She
make
was
no
ready.
money? I know, but she
Right.
was like waiting for an excuse. And I guess it's like old fashioned and all of that. Very interesting tidbit. Olmsted is the last name of the main woman in the Fargo movie, which is a fun fact.
Okay,
And
interesting.
then she goes to Lorraine, which is the only time we see Lorraine in this episode, and she accepts the job and says, all right, we need to go help. Dorothy is, you know, stuck. And that definitely gives me a little bit of like Wizard of Oz vibes, just a little bit. Now she's like caught in the castle and she's trapped, just like Dorothy was in Wizard of Oz.
Interesting. Yeah, that's a good observation. I don't know. I just really don't know where it's going. Not in a bad way.
I
Not in a bad
know.
way.
See, I'm envious of you. I think I do know where it's going, and I hope I'm
Yep.
wrong. And I
Say it. Say it out loud. Say it for the crowd.
Everyone is going to show up at the Tillman estate. Okay. We're going to get the FBI there. We're going to get Winston with Olmsted, with Lorraine.
By the way, his name is Detective Whit Farr or Deputy Whit Farr.
Whitfar. Okay.
Yeah,
So
Whit.
Whitfar, every Winston.
Whatever.
Everyone's going to show up there and we're going to have a shootout. And the question is, the big question is, will Gator survive the drive with Munch? Like that's the huge missing thread for me, because I could tell the show was trying to turn Gator. And I even wrote it down here. I'm like, wow, they're gonna turn Gator. Like, I have no feeling that I want him to do well. Like, and then she's like, I saw your mom. I can get you out to
Right. That
her.
was a very good acting job by Joe
Really,
Keery.
really
He did
good
a
from
great
both of
job
them.
of like flipping the switch, doing a complete 180 and seeing that he actually has emotion. Like he had a fucked up upbringing, obviously.
Fucked
He
up, yeah.
definitely abused by his father emotionally, maybe probably physically as well, and he feels like he's a failure to his father, never accepted. So I that y there's that that's going to come back into play. I think it's going to help Dot in the future. Anyways,
And
go.
well, Dorothy also had unbelievable acting chops here from our girl Keeley, where all of a sudden she notices, all right, Gator is no longer going to be nice and like listen to me. So she turns on him. So nasty. She was so nasty. Well, your father saw you as a reptile when you were born and decided he didn't want Roy to be passed down through such a weakling and like, you know, all that kind of ask him. You need to ask him. And she just turned so nasty. And I was like, that's not a way to try to get her to let you go. One other fun thing here. Toxic by Britney Spears was playing in super slow-mo when Roy was walking out of the election on his way to go, you know, beat. And do you think he raped Dorothy, or was it just pure physical
You mean in
assault?
this scene right now?
In the scene after the election.
I don't think he raped her. I think he's purely physical. I think he's
Yeah.
like just a
But
madman, but
you know, it was on purpose. His new wife intentionally brought her up in the car, remember? Because her dad was like, "Hey, don't talk." And she's like, "No, I want to bring up this woman that came into your life, and now everything's going down." And the reason why he did it is so that she wouldn't get the brunt. The wife wouldn't get the brunt of the pain, and Roy would instead inflict it on Dorothy, which is just the trend here, and it's certainly an interesting one to continue keeping tabs of. I think we're gonna have an old-fashioned North Dakota shootout. And I'm curious
Man,
how the
we'll see.
FBI play into it. That's what I'm very interested.
Oh yeah, I'm happy we haven't seen them. They're the worst, but
They
I
even mentioned
also,
them being the worst, which was funny.
yeah, I really don't want Whit to die. He's like he's testing, but he's walking a fine line. He's on thin ice. I thought Gator or one of the other comrades were gonna shoot him on sight for walking on property line, but. I do think he might save the day. He might save Dorothy. It's going to come full circle where Dorothy saved him and he saves Dorothy and gets her out of there. But that also could be too much of a happy ending in terms of the show because we don't have happy endings in the show. So very curious what's going to happen. RIP to Danish Graves. I wonder how that's going to affect Lorraine. I mean,
I
Lorraine
mean,
is
everyone
obviously.
knows where he is. I like he
Oh,
literally
yeah. I
told
mean, Lorraine is going to come
Whitfar.
down with the hammer on Roy Tilbin. Like it's war. It's
So
war.
what can Lorraine what give me a prediction? Like, what do you think she can start calling in some chits? Like, obviously that bank guy is under Roy's spell kind of thing. You know what I mean? The dude that he berated in front of the strip club. Would you say he
Yeah,
said don't sell the bank to
no, for
her? But I'm
sure.
saying, like, I'm sure she has. I wonder how debt might play in, like how many people owe her, and like whether she can call in some
I think
stuff.
she's gonna use her connections and her power to fuck him over. No physical harm, no shooting, no fighting. She's gonna make him suffer in ways that he would never kind of inflict. Like he would do physical harm, and I think she's gonna do emotional, and it's gonna be like that kind of suffering, if that
Well,
makes sense. I
we
don't know
got to.
how, what way. He's gonna lose all of his property. He's gonna lose the election. I don't know what's gonna happen, but he's fucked in my opinion. I think she's gonna come out on top. And I mean, what would really just be the ultimate Fargo ending was if like Wayne Lyons somehow saves the day. It would be I would not rule that out. I
I
don't know
would.
if you.
I'm ruling it
Yeah, I
out,
don't know.
Josh. There's no way that this man who has like a quarter of a brain working right now.
It's coming back.
He also needs to look after Scotty. Like he's not leaving. Like he's not going into danger.
Do you buy that Dot actually loves Wayne?
Yeah.
Okay. He's like, he's my best friend. He loves me.
But I don't know. I don't know if it's because of him. She just, I mean, he's just nicer. You know what I mean? It's like, I think she just, anything that's better than Roy, she would probably have fallen for. You know what I mean? Like getting out of that
Yeah,
situation,
for sure.
I would have loved, and maybe we'll still get it, one flashback of how she escaped. Like just give me the scene. I want to know how she escaped because obviously it was not easy.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
And then how they
Maybe.
met. Like, how do you think they met? Do you think like she approached him at a bar? Like those are little things that would have been fun to find out.
Right. So, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts here. There's like, there's so many different plot lines, so many different characters. Like we have the Olmstead plot line, the Lorraine plot line, Roy and Dot. We have Ole and Gator, Ole in general. Like what we don't know, what we are we going to find out what like we might very well not find out anything about Ole's backstory.
Or he's gonna like follow Gator right now to the house and be a part of all of this. You know what I mean? Like
Yeah.
he might be there for the big shebang as well.
Well, we still have two more episodes to go.
Yeah. But
So I.
something tells me we might get a big shebang in this next one.
Yeah. So,
But we
I
might
mean.
not. The names are the Useless Hand is the next name, and then
Yeah.
Bisquick, which is the name of the pancakes from the
Pancakes.
very
Right.
beginning.
Right. Yeah. I wonder what the useless hand means. I mean, these episode titles are epic. The show is epic. The music, the Britney Spears Toxic
So
rendition
sick.
spinoff was sick. It's just really, really, really well done. And a show keeping you guessing, a show killing off characters that you didn't think maybe would die and out of nowhere is a sign of a good show, as I always say. And I'm pumped for these next two episodes. The penultimate's gonna slap, and then episode 10, I hope it kind of ties it all together.
I'm excited. It's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait. What do we got? A couple more days until it. Anything else that you were kind of quickly watching on TV or maybe movies? I've been in a little bit of a movie. Every time in January comes around, I'm like, oh, the Oscars are coming.
Well,
Maybe I'll watch all the Oscar movies.
I unfortunately had to watch, not had to, I watched Saltburn.
Oh man, I gave it 25 to 30 minutes and stopped it.
You don't even know. Like you
No, I
don't
do
even
know. I've been on TikTok. I heard about the bathtub scene,
that's not even
the grave. There's a
that's like
grave
light work.
scene.
The
Really?
grave, the I'm not gonna even go into the specifics because we're on a podcast. It was just it was a good idea in terms of like the
No, it's just a
cinematography.
copycat movie, though. Like, it's just The
What do you
Talented
mean?
Mr. Ripley. It starts the exact same way as The Talented Mr. Ripley starts. It exhibits the exact same storylines. It's Emerald, whatever her last name, the one who made Promising Young Woman. She won the Oscar, right? It's a huge deal. Her second movie ever is going to be this. I don't know. It was a little lazy. It's just a copycat movie. I don't know if you've seen The Talented Mr. Ripley. It's
I
incredible.
have. I
Young
have.
Matt Damon falls in love with Jude Law and his wife, his girlfriend. It's just like very similar. The entire beginning of it was the exact same first 10 minutes.
I don't maybe, but it was really well. It was very well produced, like very good cinematography and good, vivid imagery and all that kind of stuff. Like really cool stuff in that sense. It just kind of like what my girlfriend said is that the first half of the movie like had no relation to the second half of the movie, and like they were two different movies. It was just kind of like. Wasn't really a plot that really developed well, and then just unnecessary. I thought it was good acting, so I saw that. And then I just saw Iron Claw a couple days
Yeah,
ago,
I've heard that's a
and
crier,
that
right?
was unbelievable.
Did it
Like,
make you want to call your brother after?
no, it didn't. I
Hey,
probably
I
should
love
have.
you.
I'm an
I know.
asshole, but it was depressing.
I
Like,
haven't seen it. I haven't seen
like
it.
it is so depressing. I'm not gonna like, I mean, I don't want to spoil the movie, but they did a good job of like of doing what they did to make it depressing and not like throwing it in your face, like tragic accidents like
Is it a
happening.
real life, real story
There's a
thing?
real, it's based on,
Yeah.
yeah, it's based on a true story about a real wrestling family. So it was really good. If Cillian Murphy wasn't in this year's class, someone told me that Iron Claw is not eligible for any Oscars because they like submitted too late or something. Like, I don't know.
I don't
But
know.
Zac Efron deserves an Oscar.
Is it a good shot? Okay.
But he was not in the same, if he wasn't in the same year as Killian or Oppenheimer, I'd say he should win. But apparently everyone thinks Bradley Cooper has it locked up for his role in Maestro.
All right, so it's Maestro, and I did just see it, and
Shit, man, call me out for my
it's
pronunciation.
well, just real quick, just Maestro. Really good, really wild movie, really long movie. Bradley Cooper, I don't think will win the Oscar,
People
but I
think that
guess
he
he
is.
could. I guess he could. I mean, he
Not
was, I mean,
personally.
he transformed himself into this, Jewish bisexual legacy creating musician slash composer slash movie writer. Like, he wrote West Side Story, the theater, this guy Bernstein. It was a really loud movie. I loved the sounds of it. Here's, I'm gonna go quickly through, Josh, six movies that I watched in the
Fair.
last
Ooh.
few weeks. I saw Napoleon. It was
Okay.
terrible.
You walked out.
Awful. Did we talk about that? Okay.
No, but well, you told me personally
Oh
offline.
yeah, I walked out of Napoleon. It was one of the worst movies I've ever seen. You can't make a movie like that and then have one of the most iconic figures in world history not have a French accent. It was just just mind-boggling to me. And then it was also just like this really creepy sex movie, with him and Vanessa Kirby when there weren't fight scenes. The fight scenes were all over the place. Gran Turismo, really enjoyed it. Real life story about this British guy who won the driving video game contest to become a real life driver. That was a lot of fun. David Harbour's great in it. Saw the Hunger Games prequel, really enjoyed it. If you like the Hunger Games movies, go watch the Hunger Games prequel. Finally got around to Barbie, Josh, and I really liked the beginning and I really liked the end. And I'll leave it at that. They went into like some crazy world stuff in the middle, like you're watching like Space Jam or something. It's South Parky. Sound of Freedom. You ever watch Sound of Freedom? You remember the one that had all that buzz about like all the liberals that were trying to shut it down, all that bullshit. There was like a
No,
lot
I
of like
haven't. I
media
haven't.
rhetoric surrounding this movie that was about basically like South American kids being trafficked. That's what the movie's about. It's very like Narcos or like Sicario-esque. The movie's solid. It's just weird because it's like, you know, this guy who played Jesus in the Mel Gibson movie and is the main character is also like a member of QAnon and thinks that like the rich Americans are sucking the blood out of kids and especially the Jewish Americans that are a part of this kidnapping stuff. So like that was a little bit hard to look past. Gave it a seven. And then I saw a little mini series or mini short movie on Netflix called The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar, which is
Ooh,
the
that
Wes
with
Anderson movie. Benedict
Benedict Cumberbatch?
Cumberbatch, Ralph Fiennes,
Is
super
it good?
fun,
Is it
30
good?
minutes, so good. You just watch it. It's just like a story about a story. Just one of those cute little stories. And then I saw Past Lives as well. I've been on a movie kick. Past Lives
Nice.
was really good. Korean love story that takes place over America and Korea as well. Definitely a good airplane movie. And so there we sit. And I can't wait to see Killers of the Flower Moon next week on Apple TV Plus. I'm super excited.
Yeah, I'm gonna rewatch it because I'm
Oh, you
gonna
saw it in
put
theaters.
saw it in theaters. Maybe had a little bit of a snooze. I'm
Just too long. Too
very
long for the
ashamed to
theaters.
say that I was away for about 15 minutes of the movie in the middle because I saw it on a Thursday night. So I want to rewatch it and see it from start to finish. Maybe break it up like I did. What's the one with Robert De Niro that came out during COVID?
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
blanking. I'm
Yeah.
blanking.
The Philly
Was
one.
it? It was Scorsese.
Yeah, the Philly movie.
No, it wasn't Philly. It was the Italian one.
I thought he was in Philly.
Martin Scorsese, Robert De Niro. I'm looking it up. Hold on. Hold
Yeah.
on. What is it called? Isn't it called the Italian something?
Irishman.
The Irishman. There we go. It
Was
was
it
good.
Boston? Was it Philly? Was it New York?
I don't remember. It was a while ago.
Yeah, it was a while ago, but I watched it over five sessions, and that's kind of how I'd recommend. No reason to like bang right through it, but obviously to each their own. I can't wait to, I do want to see Wonka. I'm excited for
Oh
that.
yes, I want to see that. I want to see
I do
that.
want to see Wonka.
I heard Ferrari was good.
I want to see Ferrari. I want to see the new Indiana Jones, which is finally on Disney TV, Disney Plus. I'm excited to see
I heard
that.
that The Holdovers was really good.
Yeah, I just yeah, it looks so
Did
boring.
you? I mean, I heard it was good. So
You let me know. You let me know. It just
I want to
looks
see Night
so
Swim.
boring.
There's a lot of, dude, movies are peaking. We get True Detective. Also, we get True Detective out in 9 days for TV.
True Detective is out on the 14th. We get a new season of our tennis Netflix show in 5 days,
I think,
Breakpoint.
yeah, I think True Detective should be our next show that we break down.
Yeah, I'm down to break down True Detective. We've also got the new Mr. and Mrs. Smith on Feb 2, Curb Your Enthusiasm on Feb 4. This is a great time to be alive. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for Reacher to finish so I could just body it because like I love that show. Season one. And so I haven't
Yeah, I
watched
heard it's
season two of
good.
Reacher yet.
Or, Poor Things with Emma Stone and Mark Ruffalo apparently is phenomenal.
Same with The
Kind of an
Curse.
art, but I think from what it seems,
Say that again.
and it's a really good time. What?
We lost you.
Do you hear me now?
Yeah, fire away.
The Emma Stone movie called Poor Things looks really good with Mark Ruffalo. It's kind of an artsy fartsy movie, but it got really good reviews, 93% on Rotten Tomatoes. Apparently it's one of her best acting jobs. She's a great actress to begin with.
I would
She
call her a
so apparently
movie
it's really
star.
good.
She's a movie star.
Yeah. Yep. It's come a long way since Superbad, even though she was great in Superbad.
She was fast, so that was like her breakout role. But
Yeah.
she's in a show with Nathan Fielder called The Curse on Paramount Plus through Showtime. And I try to start it, and it's for people that like cringe comedy. I'm not like a big cringe comedy guy. But go check it out if you like it. I'm also just loving For All Mankind. So good. I just finished Slow Horses, Josh. You got to get into it. What's next for me? Prequel to Money Heist called Berlin,
Ooh,
which I
ooh.
can't wait because I love me some Money Heist, La Casa de Papel. All right, we're gonna wrap things up. Touch back with you here when Fargo wraps, or maybe we'll touch on 9 and then 10, depending on schedule availability. And we'll also have our top 10 shows of 2023. So go ahead and send in your submissions. We'll see how close our lists are lined up. He's Josh. I'm Daniel, and we binge.